Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Dawn of the Dead. Dawn of the Dead is a 2004 action horror film directed by Zack Snyder and written by James Gunn, and is a remake of George A. Romero's 1978 film of the same name. The movie follows a nurse, a policeman, a young pregnant couple, a TV salesman, and others who take refuge in a mega Midwestern shopping mall from a worldwide plague that is producing aggressive, flesh-eating zombies.
Zack Snyder. Zacky S. His debut.
The Snyder cut of Dawn of the Dead.
What? Can we just talk about, before we dive into the movie too much more,
yeah,
how insane it is that Zack Snyder's first ever film was a remake of one of, like I've not seen the original, but one of the most iconic, famous zombie films of all time.
Yeah.
And they were just like, yeah, we'll just give good luck, kid.
Right. Yeah, honestly, it blows me away. Yeah, I kind of had the same thought when I looked it up, and it was his first feature. You're like, why? Like, how? What happened there?
Doesn't shock me, because I think traditionally this is a low-budget genre.
Right.
That has a lot of first-time directors. And Snyder had, like, a pretty prolific music video and, like, TV commercial background.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He's obviously, and you can tell from watching anything he's ever made, he's a very visual storyteller.
Yeah.
But it is weird to watch this first one because it's so, like, rough around the edges.
Yeah.
It's got elements of the Snyder that we know and don't love, but it's got, I don't know, it's just everything about it's pretty rough. And there's not a lot of slow-mo. I think there's only like a few, like...
The slow-mo that's in it is insane.
When, like, the shell cases from the guns drop, and maybe that was
okay,
it.
Okay, I actually liked the rough around the edges-ness of it.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the Snyder. I don't really love what he does. Don't get me wrong, when I was like 14 or 15 and whenever 300 came out, I thought it was the best fucking thing ever. I thought it was amazing. It blew my dick off. Now I watch it, I'm like, oh my God, it is like crazy that I'm still straight.
Well, here's the thing. Do you know what is missing from this is Zack Snyder's love of the male form. Like, you see a bit of a butt early on and there's a lot of tits. There's more tits.
Ving Rhames is still in there.
Ving, baby, Ving.
Anyway, just to go back to his directorial stuff. So, yeah, I actually liked The Rough Around the Edges. I found it more charming than his current films that are so like, too polished. And then the slow-mos. There was two slow-mos that I really think of. One was at the fountain with the zombie.
Oh, yeah.
The shooting. That was the gun, the cartridges flying. And the second one was when the old lady went to go look behind the curtain when the woman was giving birth. And there's this like crazy slow-mo of her cigarette dropping and her foot coming and crushing it. And it's like, it's so pointless. It has no impact on the, like, of all the moments to choose to slow-mo.
Because you know what's coming. You know that she's going to walk into something. Minute she ashes out that cigarette, she's dead.
It was the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen. I just thought, like, this is so, it's like creating a dramatic moment out of slow-mo her seeing the zombie woman or the fucking zombie baby or something. Like,
they did slow-mo her being shot.
Right.
And him being shot.
Yeah, and even that was a bit crappy.
That whole scene just reminded me of, have you guys ever seen the SNL sketch Dear Sister with Andy Samberg and like Christian Wiig and Bill Hayes, where they just shoot one another like a billion times?
That's great
to
imagine
heaps hide and seek.
Beautiful. Yeah,
that's exactly what that shootout scene. They both get shot about 8 times before they die.
Yeah,
the whole time I was laughing.
That's the greatest call you've ever made, Tom. That is wonderful. That's made
it's
my
true.
Day.
But look, boys, I thoroughly am very surprised about how much I enjoyed this movie.
I'm actually going to second you on that. I agree. I did have low-ish expectations.
Yeah.
But I was shocked that how character-driven it was, if I'm honest.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it would be really action-y. And again, having not seen the original, and I'm sure, look, we will watch the original at some point.
Yeah.
I bet.
But we're scaredy boys. We're cowards. We don't have to follow the rules of horror, baby. We can do whatever we want.
No, we're going to watch the remakes first. Yeah. There are some people out there listening to this being like, these fucking idiots.
But then how is that different from any other episode, really?
True.
No, I agree. I went in with quite low expectations. And don't get me wrong, this movie has its flaws, which we'll get into. But overall, I actually was like mostly satisfied. I was having a mostly good time.
I had fun.
Throughout it.
It was good.
There's the end credits, which we'll get to also. But for now, let's stay in the realm of Damo didn't hate it. There was some good things like one of the things that bothered me was that it didn't have a clear protagonist. So is it Anna?
Anna, yep. Yeah.
The opening scene with her I thought was fantastic. I love that she was a nurse. I love that a story about a virus started at a hospital. I thought that was so good.
Yep.
That she's a nurse means when shit hits the fan, like there's pressure and there's blood, she's not going to flinch. Like I thought, oh, that makes so much sense of all the characters. You know, obviously we've got a cop and everything in there, but a nurse in a lot of ways is more qualified for this than anybody else.
Yeah,
that was good because there's a lot of useless fucking characters.
Yeah, there is.
Like literally, a lot of them are just like standing around. They're just helpless. So it is cool that I assume she's the intended protagonist.
Exactly.
She feels like the protagonist.
Yeah, she's a bad protagonist. She has no arc.
No. No, well, she starts as a protagonist. Like, and again, opening scene with her and her partner, great. Her fleeing, great. And even some nice shots there, that aerial shot where the truck goes into the gas station or whatever it is that blows up. I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then, all of her getting to that point of safety, meeting Ving Rhames, getting into the mall, loving it. I was so on board. And then, it kind of didn't know who its protagonist was after that. And it did lessen it.
Weirdly, the person who then from that point on has the biggest arc is the movie's second biggest piece of shit in CJ.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. He's got a huge arc.
Love him.
Oh, of course you do.
Thought he was great. Because he's a character with an arc.
Yeah,
there it's, was true. Movement it's true. It's true. It's true.
When it got to the bit in the elevator, he was like, love this song. I was just like, fuck, CJ, you are actually all right. I don't mind you. You've come good.
Yeah.
I mean, Ving is potentially another protagonist, but he's also not. I thought while watching it, I had a very early theory that he just wasn't a cop.
Right, right.
He didn't behave like a cop at all.
Yeah. Can I say that is an incredible theory?
Mm. I thought that he'd like killed a cop and stolen his outfit.
That would have been great. That would have been a good test.
But then they didn't do that and they never went anywhere with it. But I still watched this whole film and I'm like, I'm not sure that you're a cop.
That's a good interpretation though. I quite like the idea. And you mentioned that to me. I think you mentioned it to the group chat, and I'm hooked on that idea that Ving Rhames in this movie might actually not be a cop. He's just a dude pretending to be a cop to get to his brother. It's great.
I started the film, and then I think you were active in the group chat, Tom, and I messaged you on the side, and I was like, Tom, Ving's not a cop, is he? And I was like, wait, no, don't tell me. But when I was writing, don't tell me, you were like, no. And I was like, fuck. But Ving's great.
He's great.
It's just... it's good to see him and stuff, really.
Do you know what I found out recently? And maybe you already know this. Maybe this is old news. His name's Irving.
Oh.
I did not know that.
Yeah. He's just cut off the eye in the art.
Oh, he's a fucking beast.
He's the best thing about Mission Impossible.
Yeah. I fucking love him. He should have been in 300.
I'll be honest. I miss the Mission Impossible fedora that he always wears in this movie. I was hoping a fedora would make
it. It was weird seeing him not wearing a hat for a lot of this film. He's a boss in this, though. He does some... I thought for ages, I'm like, oh, he's going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
But he didn't, through the course of the film.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gave me my most favourite part of the whole film, which was him and Andy, best friends forever.
Oh, mate. I fucking love that too. And again, see, this is where this movie surprised me with the character stuff and the sort of, it's a bit on the nose, but it's got heart to it. There is heart in this movie. And even like the whole montage, which montages, I think, are one of the easiest things to get wrong in any film. Like, oh, we've got to show time passing. Like, that's the most, can be the most boring or cliched thing anyone can do. The time passing montage for this was fucking spectacular. Like, one, they set up Ving and that guy, like, to then cut to them playing chess or whatever it was.
Yep.
Gorgeous. Like, so honestly, so freaking good. And I can't remember all the beats of the other characters, but I remember just being blown away thinking, shit, that's actually pretty fucking great.
It's really good because what it does is it shows that, like, the zombie apocalypse, until you're actually doing stuff with zombies, is really fucking boring. I loved that it just captured the thing that I... And again, not something I was expecting from a Zack Snyder film.
Right.
Was that, hey, the zombie apocalypse, mundane as shit.
Yeah.
A lot of it, you're just doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like, and you got to see, like, the camaraderie build and you around this group of kind of misfits, which was really nice.
That's it.
And it also does a nice element in that about halfway through the montage, old mate and his wife just vanish. They're just not in the montage at all. Mm. And you're like, so when she's like, hey, have you seen so-and-so? I haven't seen him for ages.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, something bad's happened.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's not a long montage either.
No.
No.
It's also to the best cover of Get Down With The Sickness.
Oh, man. It's like a bebop version of it or something. It's friggin' fantastic.
Boys, you know who that is who's singing that
cover
of Down With Sickness? It's Richard Cheese, who does the I Like Boobies song from Barb and Star Go to Mr. Del Mar.
Oh, great.
Oh, so my new hero. Okay, great. Yeah.
What do you guys think the passage of time actually is?
Is it a few months?
I think it's a few months. I think it is, like 3 or 4, maybe even 5 months.
Like, yeah, okay. It didn't seem clear to me. And so I was kind of like, wow, Anna's kind of moved on from her dead husband sort of quickly.
Right, yeah. Well, I guess how pregnant was the woman prior to and how pregnant was she after the montage is a way to measure it.
Well, no, I thought she was pretty pregnant when we met her.
Yeah, okay.
As soon as we met her, I'm like, oh, that she's going to have the baby.
Yeah.
Maybe it's only a month.
Mm. Yeah, it could be. I don't know. It could be even quicker.
Because she's a full zombie by the end of it.
One thing I want to know too is at the start, is that Anna's daughter that she kills?
No, it's the neighbor.
Yeah.
So why is Anna's husband so like, his reaction to just this girl neighbor being in their house in the morning, in their bedroom, is just like normal. As if I thought it was like her stepdaughter maybe or something.
Right, nah, neighbor.
I think it's supposed to be like late in the afternoon because she works shift work.
Okay.
Yep, that makes sense.
And she just turns up. But also maybe something that happens a bit. I think because they establish early on that like she's over all the time and she's like, I'll go rollerblading with you. And so maybe she just comes in. And it does allow you to have a great scene.
Exactly. And like, to be honest, when I saw that, when we saw Vivian was the girl, I'm like, oh, she's going to be zombified. That's going to be creepy. That's good. As soon as we met the husband, I'm like, oh, for sure, he's going to be zombified at some point. And then the two happened so quickly, and I really actually like that. It surprised me because use your best stuff first. Like, I'm such a big fan of that. Don't hold off on it. Like, give it to us straight away. Why not?
Yeah.
Zach doesn't know how to hold off.
No. he's blowing his load all over the place.
He is not a director who holds off revealing anything.
Yeah. But just on the best stuff you mentioned, Damo, like that, probably my favorite thing outside of Kenneth and Andy's bromance is that early scene where Anna's driving away and it's like a helicopter, like a, you know, a drone shot following her, and just like a car crashes into a petrol station and blows up.
Mm.
That is an awesome shot.
Yeah.
That's agreed. Similar to that shot we got in a very shit film 30 Days of Night where it's the helicopter shot of like the carnage in the town.
Yeah.
Except they didn't really execute that shot very well, whereas this is fucking like A-grade stuff.
Right, and this is where I'm like, modern day Snyder would have done that way more dramatically.
Yeah.
But it works because you're actually so removed from it. Like you can hardly, like the explosion's muffled and obviously you know it's horrible and traumatic, but because you've got that bird's eye view, it lessens it and heightens it at the same time.
Yeah.
As in, physically, you're further away from it, but you kind of fill in the blanks rather than getting this big slow-mo explosion and like, you know. So, I agree. I thought there was some nice things in here that we don't see from Snyder anymore.
Mm. Yeah. No, there's a lot to like. There's a lot of, again, capturing the boredom of it, but also, and we'll probably get to this when we get to this part of the show, but just a lot of like the practical little things that the group are doing to like pass time or to like stock up. You know, they're counting their food and they're doing all this kind of stuff and they're counting bullets and
the celebrity shoot headshot thing.
Oh, that is the fun when he's like Rosie O'Donnell and the guy's like, nah, make it harder for him.
Yeah. Again, like I wasn't expecting that from this movie. Like it had some really great little beats in there.
That's all James Gunn. Mm.
Yeah, 100%. And did you hear, I've read a couple of interesting facts about James Gunn, one of which that he received huge amount of backlash from fans of obviously the original when assigned to this film, a lot of hate messages, most of which were about like the hack who wrote Scooby-Doo shouldn't be in charge of Dawn of the Dead.
Hey, have you seen Scooby-Doo Monster Island or whatever it's called? It's a tight film.
I mean, Scooby-Doo's technically horror, right?
Like, technically, he is for this podcast. Oh, yeah. Sean, yes. I feel like we need to address the elephant in the room, which is that when Damo and I were heaping praise on the film, you looked like a thunderstorm had passed through your head. Let's talk about it, buddy. How do you feel?
It's a piece of shit. I hated it. And my hate for it
hated it
grew as the film went on. I liked it initially. I really liked the scenes, you know, with Anna, where the two zombies attack her at the start. She's driving off. She meets the crew. The early stuff is good, and then it just, as it dragged on, I was just like, no, man, you're not doing anything with the characters. You guys mentioned you like some of the character development. I think it's fairly non-existent outside of Kenneth and Andy. Like Anna is our main character and gets almost nothing to do. And most of them are the same. And that really annoyed me. And then I probably, for most of this film, I would have gone 3 stars. Probably. I enjoyed aspects of it. I had a bit of fun with it. But the way that it ends is just so fucking terrible. It made me angry.
Yeah, I think ended. We should get into that because...
Yeah, so not the ending necessarily, but the credits. The end after the
end. I didn't necessarily love the ending. I think it was already starting to trend downwards. But then, essentially ending the film with end credit sequences and the manner of what those scenes were, it just left a bad taste. And I had to sort of drop it down to, I think, 2 stars or maybe 2.5. I can't remember.
Yeah, I agree. That end credit scene where... spoilers, I suppose, but... literally everyone just dies. They get to this island that's meant to be a place of safety. Oh, guess what? It's full of zombies. And we get these smash cuts in between the credits of all the characters we liked, hopefully, and they're just getting ripped apart. And I agree. For me, it was like an immediate half a star loss. Like, yeah, like I said, it had its faults. It didn't know who its protagonist was. There were some, like, there was a bit of bulk in there that probably could have been trimmed. But I was actually, like, feeling pretty forgiving because, like, it did have enough good stuff that... I was like, oh, well, that's okay. Like, even then, like, obviously, Anna was... it was 3 protagonists. It was Anna for the first act was a protagonist. CJ was the protagonist for the second act. And then was it Michael was the protagonist for the third
TV
act?
TV salesman. He's great, too, just quietly in this.
Oh, he is good.
Who's the actor? Because Jake Webber. Freaking out.
Medium's husband from the TV show Medium.
Yes, exactly right. Medium's husband.
Mr. Medium.
He's doing some stuff in this movie.
Not enough. Doesn't get enough to chew on. He's the best actor in the film, I think.
Oh, yeah. Even with what he had.
Outside of Ving.
Outside of our boy Ving, yeah.
And Chips the dog.
What he did have, he was making the most of it. Like, I quite enjoyed whenever he was on screen. So, yeah, all that I could have forgiven. I still had a good time. And then those end credits, and I was furious. Same as you, Carnes. I was just like, I don't understand why you did that. It seemed so unnecessary. Like, the one thing I really loved about this movie, if I had to have said up until that point what the theme for this movie was, it would be something in the line of, like, maintaining your humanity in the case of monstrosity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, obviously, you've got these literal humans that have become monsters. Can this small group maintain their humanity? And they did. And, like, again, those sweet moments between them while they're in the mall together. I love that because they were starting to feel like a family, even with the pricks that were in there. And so by... having those end credit scenes, it was like, well, that was all for fucking nothing then. Yeah. Like, it was meant to be because they kept their humanity, they got to live where the rest of the world didn't. And no, they didn't get that. So what's the fucking point? Mm-hmm.
It's very edgelord. It's very 2004.
Yeah.
It's a very edgy 2004. We're making a movie and you think you know how movie, but this is actually how movies.
Get ready for your dick to be blown off. Oh, and those testes, they're good too, boy.
Yeah, it's very much like, you think you're going to be... they're going to be safe because they're on an island? You're wrong. I'm Zack Snyder.
It's a zombie apocalypse. No one lives through a zombie apocalypse,
Give a fuck about your feelings.
Right. That's what it felt like.
You could turn the film off.
Yeah. I wish I had before the credits. I would have been a happier boy.
Yeah.
It's a downer ending even before the death. Like, it's downer, but there's hope because they escape.
Yeah.
The cost is great. They lose a lot of people.
They're together still.
Michael dies. CJ dies. They lose a lot of people, but they're together. Mm.
Yeah, frankly, when CJ dies, that's just the end of the film.
Well, like, I mean, again, because CJ is the protagonist for that second act. He basically gets the Iron Man arc, where at the start, he's not the guy who would who would make that call. He would,
yep.
And then by the end, he is. And it's a fucking great arc. It works a treat. It's a bit heavy-handed because, again, he only had one act to do it in rather than three. But even then, I bought in. I freaking loved it. I thought it was great. But then, yeah, after that, that's when it switched over to Michael. And even then, I bought in enough for his one. Mm-hmm. And I was waiting for him to... I thought the opposite of Ving Rhames. I was waiting for him to be some, like, secret agent or some shit because he was...
I like that he's just a guy.
But he did very well in this scenario. For a TV salesman, he was... kicking ass. He was actually doing very, very well for himself.
It's funny because, like, he doesn't have... Like, he gains sort of survival-ish skills. Mm. This is going to sound very lame and maybe way deeper than this movie deserves, but I think he survives for as long as he does because he is a salesman, which means he needs to be good at empathy and talking to people.
Ooh,
and that is how he gets CJ on side. He does that whole thing where he's like, oh, well, you know...
Great scene.
You've had this idea, obviously, to do that. Of course you would have done that.
Yep.
And then he develops, like, he builds rapport with everyone.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because that's his job as a salesman, so that by, you know.
Yeah.
And he always makes the right calls as well.
Yeah.
Like,
so it would have been more interesting to have him be a gutless coward at the end and betray them all.
No.
It just needed something, I think. It needed Ving to not be for him to be a liar. It needed Anna to have fucking something. It just, all the pieces didn't really add up. You had a bit of fun. And then I just can't look past some of the shit that really annoyed me.
I think I was just blinded by Andy and Ving's friendship.
It was gorgeous, It was gorgeous. And again, like, it almost felt like we either wanted to be a TV show or something like that. Like, it had small arcs that worked really well, but then the overarching didn't, basically, because that's not how movies work, you know?
Yeah.
So, But they had enough of those small arcs and those small moments that I was on board up again to the credit scene. And then I... thought, well, fuck you.
It's a real dog act.
It is, yeah.
Jimmy G and Zachy S. You're on notice.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, well, were we scared, though?
No. Deeply, deeply uncomfortable at Zombie Baby.
Oh, yeah, that was...
I mean, it both looked a bit naff, but also really troubling and... just horrible. Yep. A horrible scene, which I wish they kind of just cut out of the movie.
Yeah.
Pregnant zombie woman, very good. That is a ticking time bomb. I friggin' loved that.
Yeah.
And that they'd set up the dad, I can't remember what his name was. They'd set up his character well enough that we believed he just wants this kid so bad. Like, he just wants to be a dad. He wants to be the dad his father wasn't. Like,
yeah, because it's a fresh start for him. Yeah. That's actually a really nice storyline for him.
Again, a nice little arc
within
this sort of confused story. And then, the ticking time bomb of a pregnant zombie woman. And, like, the fact that she, I'm guessing the logic was she had such a small scratch, it took a long time for her zombification to sort of play out.
Yeah.
Fucking loved that. That was really great. But then, once Zombie Baby came out, I was like, if Zombie Baby, like, starts roaring at everybody, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
If we got was a bit nothing.
It was so bad. And then you're like, oh, they're going to shoot it in the head.
Mm.
Yeah. In slow-mo, probably.
Edgy. Very 2004.
Edge. Yeah, you're right, Tom. Yeah. Mm. You've got a guy called James Gunn writing this. You've got to have some hardcore moments.
There's one moment of not like necessarily I was scared, but there's like some good tense moments. That sequence where they go down into the car park.
Mm. Yeah.
Something's in the car park with them, then they get attacked. Yep. Like that sequence is really cool. Yeah.
I've been in a car park before. I could relate.
It's awful.
They're dark. They're scary.
They're not good.
Yeah. No.
I've had to change a tire in a car park, Sean. With you.
That's right.
It was bad.
Yeah, that was a dodgy car park. That car park doesn't exist anymore, you know? They blew
it's
that
gone.
Up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like I felt definitely anxious and tense at points. And like I even made the note, like one of the best things about zombie movies is like anytime you need to bring tension into any scene, you can have two characters giving straight exposition. If you want to throw some tension in there, a zombie just has to show up. It's like the perfect tool to elevate the tension and make a scene more heightened than it already was because they're fucking anywhere. Who knows where they are? Those little creeps are fucking in every little nook and cranny.
Sometimes they're babies.
Sometimes they're friggin' babies.
Yeah, actually, this would have been early days of like the fast zombie as well.
Yeah,
it's probably only the second film that I can think of. Like 28 Days Later would have come out a couple years before this.
Yep, yep.
And I think from memory, I could be wrong, but I think that was the first sort of instance of the quick zombie.
Have you ever seen the thing with George Romero talking about why zombies can't be fast?
No.
No, what's his reason?
It's basically like an article where he just talks about how like zombies couldn't be fast because their ankles wouldn't be any good. Like is effectively his, I'll see if I can find it. It's
that is the most flawed logic.
It's such a great.
None of them is like good.
No.
They're rotting chunks of bags of meat. They shouldn't be able to think or move at all, mate. They're dead. That is correct. But the ankles, specifically the ankles, are the problem.
Yeah. I saw a quote from James Gunn when he said when he was adapting it, he was like, these zombies, like, it's not scientific based at all. Right. It's a supernatural thing.
Which makes so much more sense to me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, I guess it's still like a plague, but cool. It's a supernatural plague. That works.
So he says, he goes, I don't look at it as like a virus or whatever. It's just like, it's like a vampire. You get bitten and then you become one.
Yeah, good. That's really good.
Yeah, because you die, but the bite kills you, basically. Yeah.
Whereas I think there are different... There's obviously different things in different movies. From memory, 28 Days Later, it's kind of like if you get a bit of blood...
Yep.
If blood drips into your mouth or something, that's the same thing. Yeah. Right.
Well, Brendan Gleeson gets it in his eye.
Yeah. We should do that film for this show.
Should do both of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
They're good, though. They're good.
Right? They are good. Okay. Yeah. I'm on board.
They're like a dirty sort of... grimy sort of film, whereas this is, although this is similar in that sense, I think this has like elements of hope to it, whereas they do not.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, 28 Days Later is Danny Boyle, so it's grotty.
Right, yeah.
No, he did the first one. I don't think he did the second one.
Yeah, no, but the first
one is... Sorry, did you say Days?
Weeks. Yeah. Weeks is someone else, I think.
Yeah, someone else, yeah.
Weeks isn't as dirty.
And not as good, but still pretty good.
Cool. All right.
There's some good stuff in Days.
Yeah. All right, well, for this one, did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
I questioned the initial idea to go to the mall.
Yes.
But then the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, it's just because I don't know what time this virus, this infection hit. So it's like, if their logic is it happened overnight, so the mall's empty because no one's in there because it was closed, then it's a great idea. And I assume that's what it is because that's what we kind of see unfold.
As well as you also need to take into effect, clearly no one in this world knows what a zombie is.
Yes.
Which is interesting. Yes. I think that says really because, well, then you really need to judge it based off of that. Like, we're thinking of, oh, well, we know what a zombie is and the rights and wrongs of what to do in a zombie apocalypse, where none of these characters do. So the first thing they're just doing is looking for safety. Obviously, a shopping mall has supplies. You can barricade it. You've got weapons. You've got tools. There is a logic there. The fact that it's ground floor, to me, that was like one of the dumbest things. Like, obviously, it's two levels or whatever, but they're mostly staying on the ground floor.
Yeah.
And then otherwise, like, they did pretty well considering, like, given the rest of the world. But then also, why were the zombies all attracted to the shopping center?
They kind of explained it. No, there was just like an off-the-cuff remark of maybe it's like muscle memory. They're just used to coming here, so they came.
Right.
And then maybe after a while, they hear gunshots and shit, so they're drawn to the sound. And
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, maybe it's the sound thing. But initially, it's like a pretty big horde already, and it's kind of like, I just buy into the muscle memory thing. Yeah.
I do love, on the horde thing, before we keep going this, I do love there's that incredible shot after the montage where it just like, pans out and you just see that the numbers of zombies have just gone ballistic in that little street and you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Great.
But to me though, I look at that and I'm like, but why would they do that? Like even to the point where maybe don't come out on the roof then and give them any indication that you're there, because wouldn't they just reach a point where they're like, let's just move on to the next thing in town.
Right.
Or maybe I guess they're just brainless and they don't think. They kind of just got to a point and just stopped.
Yep.
And now they're all just worked up into a frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
Also thought that the girl going for the dog was
Nicole.
Like,
yeah.
In the moment. Yeah. Watching it, I'm like, you fucking idiot.
Agreed.
But then you think,
if it was your Charlie.
Yeah, I'd probably do the same
thing. And they show early on she's very concerned about the dog's welfare. There's that bit where she's looking for the dog.
I think it's one of those, it's surface level, it's dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
But then when you put yourself in that position and you're like, oh no, if that's my dog, Of course I'm going to try and save my dog. Like, what else is there to live for?
But here's why it's dumb as fuck. Because they already knew the dog was safe. The zombies weren't interested in
that. That's it.
That had already been proven. So in which case, wait. Come up with a better plan. You can still go get the dog, obviously. But wait, because, yeah, the dog is actually the safest out of all of you, you fucking idiot.
Yep.
To be fair to her, though, her dad has been shot in the head earlier in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is not having a great time. That, I will say, just on, like, that whole sequence where they are debating, we're going to have to kill him, is so well done.
Yeah.
And then when she's in the bookshop and Michael comes in, she's like, I'm glad you didn't do it. And then you just hear the gunshot and she's just like, oh no. It's like, that's good. That is some good stuff.
And also because they were right. That was the right thing to do. Like,
it's the right play.
Awful, but really well played out again.
So, but also on that, there is no fucking way I'm bringing that woman in that wheelbarrow. Like, just, she looks strong. Yeah, she looks like the zombies. Yes.
Exactly. Like, that was just dumb as shit. Yeah.
Huge
That woman had, like, in the end credits, I'm probably going to get this a bit wrong, but she was like, bloated woman or something like that was the name for her. She looked terrible. Like, there's nothing a doctor can do, and even if they can, why take the risk? Sorry. Yeah. Wheel her right out of there, because that's no freaking good.
Some more dumb behavior. Old mate with the chainsaw on the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
infuriating.
Mate.
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't rev it yet. Keep it low. Yeah. Keep it low. Mm. So worst case scenario, someone loses a leg.
Yeah. I underestimated how slow the buses would be getting through the people.
Yeah.
I thought they would just tank through them, but it was like immediately it was like, this seems like a bad idea now. Because they pretty easily could have flipped that bus.
Well, I guess that's why they then get the chainsaws out and then old mate does his. I tell you what, we don't see enough gasoline being shot, and then we see heaps of gasoline being shot.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
I think they do pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, am I going to do any better? Maybe with my knowledge of pop culture.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
They're not armed with that. Zombieland hasn't come out yet. They haven't seen all the Romeros.
Right, yeah. That's it. Like, if we can pinpoint little bits throughout where they acted dumb, but then you can also pinpoint little bits throughout where they acted wise. Like, in a way, they're like, yeah, they're human. They make some mistakes and they do some things right. There was one point, though, that honestly confused me. And I think it was Michael who had the crowbar and he goes into the sports store and swaps it for a wooden croquet mallet.
Crowbar's got a spike on it.
It's a freaking crowbar. You can just crow people in the head with a bar.
That's what you do. Like, you crow them.
You crow.
Could you make the argument that Ving is a bit dumb? He's like, all right, we're going to go to the mall.
Mm.
As a cop. I'm assuming he is a cop.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he know that there's a gun shop across the road from the mall? Like, wouldn't you go to the gun shop?
Right. That's interesting. Yeah, yeah.
It depends how far they've traveled to get where they are, though, because they're quite a bit out of town. He doesn't know where he's going, and he wants to go somewhere else, and Michael's like, don't go there, it's overrun.
Okay. So, yeah, actually, because it's not Ving's idea to go to the mall. He just kind of falls in with the crew.
Yeah.
Well, because he's with... what's her name? He rescues her.
Yeah.
Oh, that scene where he rescues her and he's like, say something. And she's like, please. And he's like, cool. And I'm shaking
her head. It's a good scene. Part of me wishes that they just, Ving and Anna had like an extra scene together at the start before they meet the new crew, just so they could like solidify a bit of a friendship. But they didn't do anything with it anyway. So
no. And again, like in that version, Anna would have been the protagonist all the way through. Like, again, some really great points throughout this movie. It almost needed to be what The Walking Dead is, I guess, where it actually had a full arc and every episode could focus on a different character, like get a bit of Lost action in there.
Yeah.
And that would have been really enjoyable. Mm. And it kind of did pull it off not too bad, but it's just like, but it's not a film. It's not a movie. That's the main issue.
If they made a Dawn of the Dead TV series.
It's just The Walking Dead, right?
Because, you so easily could, but you wouldn't do it now because they did The Walking Dead for about 10 years.
Still doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, look, I think they act wisely. They occasionally have lapses in judgment. I think the security guards are fucking idiots until they get wise.
Yeah.
And old mate with his wife, I get where he's coming from, but he makes terrible choices.
Yeah, I can empathize with him. Yeah.
Wastes a lot of bullets on legs. Fuck, actually, that annoys me. They shoot so many of them in the leg, and they know that at this point it's heads.
Yes.
Headshots. Don't waste your bullets, guys.
You're assuming that they're good shots, though.
Ving, it looks like he's a very good shot.
I mean, he's a cop.
Was he shooting legs?
Yeah.
He's not a cop, mate. He's not a cop.
Well, then he'd be a better shot.
And look, I love this theory that Ving wasn't a cop because I had made the comment.
I'm making it canon. It's canon.
It's canon.
He's not a cop.
Yeah, exactly right. Because even throughout it, I had made like a note about like he is not act like, I thought they were just subverting what we would expect of a cop, kind of being the one to take control, be have leadership, all that sort of stuff. Like, there's a reason people become police, and usually it's for honorable reasons. Where obviously, yeah, he didn't give a fuck. Like, he was ready to leave everybody.
Dawn of the Dead went ACAB, baby. Like,
yeah, man. So I agree. I think, nah, fuck it. He wasn't a cop. Let's do it. Mm. Let's throw that in there. All right, boys. How would the three of us do? I mean, already we know we're fucked.
Oh, are we?
If we can find other people, we'd probably live a bit longer. Like, if we can end up in a... if we end up with a group of people...
Yeah. Three little leeches, yeah.
If we're... Yeah, literally, if we can tie a burrow our way into a group of other people,
yep.
I think we'll be fine. We don't have skills and probably would die.
That's
but
true.
Also, here's another thing I want to put to you, boys. It doesn't fucking matter. Because the writers of this movie are assholes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if we do all the right things and escape, we're dead anyway. So you know what? I'm going to go out. I'm just going to become a zombie straight away.
Well, Tom, I watching this, I was like, all right, well, Tom, I love you, man, but you are definitely the guy who's gotten bit and doesn't tell anyone.
Oh, I will say this. I don't think I'm that guy. You know I've been bit.
No,
I'm constantly
you are.
Being like, oh, ow, I've been bit.
No. You're a cheeky dog.
You're a cheeky boy.
And I'm definitely the guy that just shoots you in the head.
And then they're like, oh, did you shoot him because he got bit? And you're like, Tom got bit?
When did that happen? He was really starting to get on my last nerve.
It's the Simpsons, Bart's a vampire? Like,
yeah.
Look, I think being told that I'm the guy who would pretend not to be bitten is the biggest insult I've ever received in my life.
That is the worst thing I've ever said to you, for sure.
That's an awful, that is,
you deserve
awful
it.
Thing.
You deserve it.
Yeah. Maybe if you're the Ty Burrell in this movie, you definitely have to be wearing that black shirt. I also made a note that, like, cool people in the 2000s wore black shirts. That was how you knew people were cool and rich, because they wore a black fucking...
Oh! Tommy's wearing black.
Oh, okay.
Undercutting it slightly with my mum cardigan over the top.
I take nothing back then. Yeah, you are Ty Burrell.
Hey, I'm getting laid in that mall
based
on that horny montage that's super fucking horny for no reason.
And you've got a boat.
And I've got a boat.
Yeah.
I'm dead, though, but I've got a boat.
With a big key. Big old boat key.
Big old boat key. Got a captain's hat, probably.
Yeah.
Massive dick.
I don't think that we would make the same mistake as these characters to leave them all. I would just stay at the mall.
Yeah, look, I actually agree.
You've got food there, right? You've got food and resources.
Yeah.
And
it is running out, though. They do hint that it's running out.
Right, I mean, they do have to leave because it's been breached, but that's only because they went across to save Andy.
Yeah.
We just don't befriend Andy.
The sweetest part of the whole movie.
Are you telling me, Sean, that if a man held up a sign and said, you want to play chess, that you're not saying yes?
Oh, look, I'd be playing chess every fucking day.
But also, you could have tight-roped Andy. I was actually thinking, like, I'm like,
yeah,
you've got a whole sports store. There's got to be a rope or something in there. Like, you've got the rooftops.
Yeah.
Freaking tightrope that shit.
Yeah. Hasn't Andy got a fucking crossbow in his gun shop?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
There's got to be some way to do it. Also, there's got to be a way to use the resources in the mall to create a look, I'm assuming Andy's got grenades and shit in his shop. It's a guns and ammo shop.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way to divert the crowd away, or vice versa.
Someone who gets bit does a sacrificial, I'm going to run out into the zombies and get them away, and I'll die.
Yeah,
and
you kind of lacked Andy. That, didn't it? So that's good, because we've got you, Tom, because you've been bitten.
No, I haven't. I'm just sweaty. I'm normally this sweaty, guys. It's fine. I'm okay. I've just got the flu. I've got the
Were
flu.
Were you always this bloated, Tom?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
I ate some bad... I thought it was fresh, but it's been here for a bit.
Right.
You know? I am hungry for Sean, though. Mm.
I mean, who is it, though? Look at the guy.
Exactly. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, well. Hey, it's a gift and a curse.
Well, Sean, I also had the thought, I'm like, they're blowing up gas cylinders left and right, baby. Like, this is your sweet spot.
Yeah.
This is Sean all over.
They should have done more. I think we have enough resources in that mall to take out all those zombies.
I agree.
And you got the high ground on the roof.
Yep.
You just pick them off. Just keep throwing some canisters. Bam, blow them up.
Yep. Well, like,
all sorts of shit.
And to be honest, as we know through hindsight, that getting to the island does fuck all anyway.
Yep.
So why not make your last stand at the mall and just fucking go for it?
Guys, we get a bunch of boats, not just one boat, and we become pirates.
Oh, that is also
a great option.
Sailing the seven seas forever. We go to land, we like check it out. Nah, it's no good. Get off. We're quick.
Yeah. You know what would be a great movie? Basically, like that idea, like a Waterworld type situation where you just have all these people on boats for some reason and it takes halfway through the movie before you realize, oh, it's because there's zombies fucking everywhere. I'm like, land is not an option.
It's just, it's Pirates of the Caribbean and they're talking about treasure and the treasure is like baseball cards or some shit. And you're like, what the fuck? And then yeah, like yeah. 40 minutes in, you see a zombie.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love
That's
that.
That's a great movie.
That's
Copyright
good.
Copyright this show.
Copyright.
Big C.
Well done, boys.
And if you take it off us, you're a big C.
Okay, so pirates.
You cut my hand off to stop this infection spreading, and now I have a hook.
Yeah, actually, yes. I'll take a bite in the leg so I can have a peg leg.
Done. Peg leg, yep. Boy. Oh, man.
Oh, we get to be captains of ships?
Fuck yep.
This yes. is good.
Sailing the seven seas, baby. Yeah.
Oh.
Look, here's the happy ending we didn't get.
Yeah.
Well, that is all the scary talk we have for this episode. I have been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Captain Tom of the SS Romero.
Oh, that's very good.
Thank you.
And if any of you captains or first mates out there would like to talk to us, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or you can find us on Twitter at SkettyBoys or individually. I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Orca Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.
Ving, baby, ving.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.